Today, I have my favorite twosome with me. You know them as the authors of the book I share on this show. The book is titled The Confident Patient. They are Beth Myers and Wendy Benson. Beth Myers is a nurse care coordinator passionate about helping individuals on their healthcare journey. She founded 2x2 Health because she saw patients and families frustrated, not knowing where to turn or how to navigate the complicated healthcare system. 2x2 Health was born out of a desire to help patients team with their physicians to navigate the system as quickly and efficiently as possible. Wendy Benson is an occupational therapist and healthcare executive who cares deeply about enhancing the health, well-being, and lives of others. She joined 2x2 Health to further develop and grow the services so that even more individuals and their families can be well-informed, supported, and empowered. And yay for me, they are both contributors to my charity patient safety anthology titled Highway to Heart, Humor and Honesty in Healthcare, to be published late spring, early summer. And I have had many heartfelt, humorous, and honest discussions with them in the past, and I'm thrilled to do so once again. So welcome back to the show, Beth and Wendy.
Thank you so much, Pat. It's great to be on here.
It's good to have you. I'm so excited about this. Always so much to talk about. I'm so proud of the two of you. You are just out there promoting your book and on radio shows and speaking events and just spreading the word about the confident patient. So congratulations on that.
We really appreciate it, Pat. And one of the really exciting things that come from putting together the information about the confident patient is the amazing people we've been able to meet through this process. We've had just such great interactions and learned so much from those that we're connecting with, and you're one of them. So thank you so much. We really appreciate what you've done.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it's been a gift for us to meet, and we're going to continue to do work together well into the future, I'm sure. So I want to talk today to go kind of back to your beginnings. You both began your careers as providers of healthcare, Beth as an RN and Wendy as an occupational therapist. So what caused you both to enter the world of patient advocacy?
This is Beth. So when I was ending my career at a large academic medical center, I was in the risk management arena. And it was there that I found that there were common themes that when we would hear from patients, and I realized that patients were getting frustrated, not necessarily with their physicians or their team, but with the system. And the system has really grown through the years, and there's always gaps. So I wanted to help close those gaps. So that's exactly what we do is, you know, we let the healthcare system play how it plays it out, and then we fill in all the gaps where needed.
You know, I just think that the healthcare system is becoming increasingly complicated. There are a lot of specialists involved. Often it used to be that our primary care physician was kind of the quarterback of the healthcare team. And while there still remain primary care physicians, sometimes they may not have privileges at the hospital where a procedure is being done and that type of thing. And so I think that having someone, you know, a care coordinator by your side can really help kind of pull all that information together. Years ago, when my mom was terminally ill, I just witnessed firsthand, even someone who was a little bit more familiar with healthcare lingo, how sometimes the coordination doesn't flow as smoothly as one would hope. And it's not necessarily because people don't want it to happen. It's just become more and more complicated. And I think that having someone by your side to make sure that all the team members are communicating, that everyone's on the same page, that we understand the language that's being, you know, used, that that it can really help kind of make sure that decisions are being made with as much of the information as possible.
I agree. As things get bigger and bigger, it gets harder for one person who doesn't have that background to navigate through that. So that's why it is helpful to have someone such as yourselves and your company. And you know what I'm noticing? I'm meeting many nurses who are leaving nursing for other careers, but often with a look toward becoming an independent patient advocate. And I was wondering, are both of you or either of you finding this to be true? And if so, why do you think that's happening?
This is Wendy. As healthcare expands, there's more and more non-traditional roles in healthcare. And we talk about when we are supporting our clients and their families, navigating through often overwhelming healthcare decisions and information, I think that there's really a space for healthcare beyond the traditional walls of healthcare.
So I do think that as healthcare organizations become leaner, there's more and more of an opportunity for healthcare to be provided in different ways and in different environments.
This is Beth. You know, I also feel what we're doing right now is like the purest form of nursing. You know, we're not maybe hanging IVs or, you know, taking vital signs or, you know, the traditional roles, you know, you might see on TV for nursing. But why someone goes into nursing is because they want to help someone. And I just truly feel like this is why nurses, you know, if you really went into nursing for the right reason, this is the purest form and this is like where it all starts.
Oh, I love that, the purest form of nursing. You're exactly right. I never thought of it in those terms, but this really allows that human connection from one person to another, really to help them and to get away from all the systems and the processes and the procedures that often have nothing to do with that one-on-one kind of heartfelt relationships and care. I like that, the purest form of nursing. So you've each had the experience on both sides, being providers delivering care and now working alongside patients who are receiving care. And that gives you a unique and a very valuable perspective. So now that you're on this side, how does the provider side look different to you now that you're viewing it from the patient perspective?
I'm very frustrated for them. It's like they're standing in front of, you know, the television set and they can't see the TV picture because they're only given what's right in front of them. For them to get all of the information to really make a good care plan for a patient, they have to step away and either have read other physicians' notes that they don't even know exist, or they actually need to have communication with a physician. And I think that patients are just so shell-shocked at how the system is these days. They don't even know to tell one doctor that they've already seen another doctor for another reason. So I feel bad for the physicians because they really are really working hard. They're really doing the right thing, but it's hard for them to put their arms around the whole patient situation. You know, being in the roles that we are, I think to your point, we really see two sides, and those sides generally, they want the same thing. They want someone to feel confident with their experiences and have all the information and to be able to make the best decision going forward. I think that as a patient and as the patient's family member, most people didn't go to medical school. And so the words that are being used are incredibly perhaps overwhelming, frustrating. People are trying to maybe write them down and look them up later. I think that oftentimes as a patient or as a family member, it's a feeling of, you know, of anxiety. You want to be doing the right things. You want to make sure that you have all the right information. In any industry, I think that there's just this lingo that people use with one another. You know, I think that's also true in computer science. There are words that, that people use that not everyone understands. And I think so from the physician perspective, a lot of times and from the physician's team, they might be using words that they use every single day and not necessarily know that people don't understand what an acronym means or what a word means. And then to Beth's point, you know, there's so many specialists in this day and age that can be really difficult. The electronic medical record itself with a lot of things, but one thing that can be challenging is oftentimes the electronic medical records from one physician specialty to another oftentimes may not be on the same platform. And so there is a lot of challenges that result from the provider side of things, making sure that they have all the important information to make the best decisions in collaboration with their patients.
That's very interesting, especially what you said, Beth, that you get that sense of frustration for them to realize that they're just not able to get that big picture. And I do believe that every healthcare provider that goes and shows up to work every day would like to have that big picture and would like to be all things to all of their patients. So as you're in the midst of this on both sides, is there anything that providers could do differently to improve this situation? Should they be bringing these thoughts up to who creates the systems to say, hey, this isn't working? How could they lessen their own frustration so that they could, in turn, then give better care?
That's a million-dollar question. I can't figure it out. You know, I really wish I had a better answer for you. You know, my husband's a general surgeon, and he comes home, and I hear his complaints about healthcare. I, you know, attend appointments with patients. I hear their complaints about healthcare, and I'm a problem solver, and it's just too big for me. I can't figure it out. So I'm sorry, I can't help you there.
No, I appreciate that answer because apparently that is the answer, because as I look and see and meet people, everybody's working very diligently to improve this, and yet it's not happening. So we're either
right.
missing.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, we're either
missing. And nobody goes to work like, how can I screw this up even more? You know what I mean? Everyone
yep.
wants to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know where to even begin.
Well, I think a good place to begin is something that you both have done, and that's to get out there and empower patients. And you've done that with your important book titled The Confident Patient, putting it out to the patient to say, we've got this situation. It's a little bit messy, so you have to take charge. So what gave you the feeling then that you had to write this book?
It's Wendy. You know, I think that Beth as a nurse, myself as an occupational therapist, both of us working in a variety of healthcare settings, and then coming together for 2x2 Health and really helping people from all sides, we really recognize that even though each person is unique and has his or her own unique needs and priorities and questions, no matter what, there were these common themes that we were noticing. And so we thought that it would be helpful to share that information on a broader scale by writing about these common themes and putting them in the Confident Patient. As you know, that we use real-life patient stories, sample questions that people can either use as they are or personalize to their own individualized need, and real-life advice from medical professionals across the country.
Yes, and you did a great job at that. There's so much good information. It's easy to read and very, very usable. However, there's some people then that just can't consume that, or if they do, they can't put it into practice. And so that's where the independent patient advocate comes in to help ensure that people, patients, can make informed decisions and create better outcomes. I'm interested to know, how are patient advocates received during a doctor's visit or a hospital stay from the provider side of that? How does that work for you?
That's a great question. Pat, this is Beth. So I learned very early on, I don't usually use the word advocate because I feel that physicians feel that they are a patient advocate. And they were kind of taken back when I said, you know, I'm the patient advocate here. They kind of looked at me like, well, why would you be here? So I like to use care coordinator, and that makes it look like I'm coordinating all of the care that they are recommending, and not necessarily that we need to follow through with that, but at least we can take that care plan to another physician and kind of tell them what was recommended, and that way we can get different opinions and different ideas. So I don't use the word advocate to a physician or to the healthcare team. If I'm talking at maybe a cocktail party, I might say people might, you know what an advocate is. But really, I try to use the word care coordinator.
Mm-hmm. I like that because it is what you do. I mean, it's adding continuity to the whole spectrum of a patient's care. So why would you use a word, I guess, that would put somebody off? I love what you say on your website because it gets to the heart of healthcare. You write, beyond our clinical knowledge, we are skilled caregivers ready to shoulder the emotions and stress with empathy and compassion. And isn't that what it's all about?
This is Wendy, and I think that at any point in our lives, we need connections. And I think particularly when we're in a situation where either ourselves or our loved one's health is a concern or a potential concern, connections are what's really important. And I think that sometimes friends and family can fill that need, and sometimes you need a little bit more support and reassurance than you currently have in your community. And so I really do think that it really comes down to being there for people when they need us.
So the need for a patient advocate, actually everybody has a need for somebody to go with them, whether they are a skilled, trained medical person or even just a family member, a friend, another set of eyes and ears, because I think we all know the statistics where, and I don't remember them offhand, but you know, if you go by yourself, the tendency to remember what you've heard is pretty slim. So it's extremely important to have somebody else in there just to help interpret and remember. So what advice would you have for a patient, a family member, if they're feeling swamped or overwhelmed and they need help? How do they go about finding somebody to be a patient advocate for them?
Hi, this is Wendy. Sometimes a family member or a friend will say, is there something that I can do? How can I help? And depending on the need, and depending on the complexity of the situation, person might just be a perfect fit. I think it's always important to think about questions in advance with the person. And then sometimes, depending on the complexity of the situation or depending on the need for privacy, sometimes it can be helpful to have somebody like a nurse care coordinator who can accompany someone to a doctor's appointment. So I think it really depends on the person's need and the level of seriousness of what's being discussed in terms of a medical diagnosis, thinking about the questions in advance, knowing that it is certainly okay and definitely encouraged to get a second opinion when you're thinking about something like a surgery or a procedure or a complex diagnosis, and just knowing that there are resources out there and available for people when they really feel like they need that.
Yeah, you're really not alone. There are people out there. Go ahead, Beth.
Great. Sorry about that. Yeah, no, I really think it depends on, you know, the situation. You know, if you're going to get your ear cleaned out or have a wart removed, you know, that's fine to bring, you know, someone. You should absolutely still take someone with you. But if you're coming, you know, and you have a serious diagnosis and you take your wife with you to the doctor's appointment, that wife is, that's an extra set of ideas. But the problem is that wife is going through their own set of issues. You know, they're watching their husband get sick. They're thinking about maybe their children. They're thinking about other things. So even, I think you need to really think about have someone there that is open-minded and is really not, it's horrible to say, but kind of has no skin in the game. And you can keep an open mind and really think logically through everything and ask the questions that someone in the room might not be thinking about.
That is so true. I recall that with my mom, and I'm sure even you just had a case to be with your mom. It's very emotional when you're with somebody that you love and is so close to you. I could see how some rational thoughts might just go out the door at that point in time, and you're just overcome with emotions. So for most situations, you probably do need an advocate, unless, like you say, it's just something light, by like a wart removal. My goodness.
I could have thought of a better example.
I like it. We'll stick with that. Okay, well, we've talked about a lot of things here. I want to get back to the title of the book, Heart, Humor, and Honesty in Healthcare. When you hear that, what does that make you think of?
You know, I love it. From the healthcare, being a nurse side of it, I think that, you know, nurses have been the most trusted profession, I believe, in the last 9 years. So they're very honest. Most of them have a huge heart. And the third thing is we kind of have a sixth sense of humor. And we need to have that humor to get through tough times. You know, if you're working with patients that are terminally ill all the time, you need to find something, you know, humorous about that to get you through the day. So as a nurse, I love it. I think it's a great title.
Oh, I think you're great too. I think we need more people like you out there.
I think it really speaks to what's needed in healthcare, right? I mean, it's a world where more and more things are relying on technology, and we really need to be there for one another in a present state of mind. And so when I think about the word heart, you know, nothing says that more to me than that in terms of being there for our loved ones, you know, whether it's when they're, you know, in a time of need or whether it's planning for the future. I think humor, you know, they say humor is the best medicine, and there's all this research that shows that you're able to get with a friend and laugh, or turn on a movie or a sitcom that you know is going to give you the chuckles. It, you know, releases those endorphins that can do wonders for our health. And then honesty, you know, I think that sometimes we know that we have to connect with someone that's going to really give us the true situation. Sometimes people might be going through a really tough medical situation and want to talk about end of life issues. And I think that as healthcare professionals and as people, we have to be ready to have those conversations with someone, because there are times that people are like, oh, that person doesn't want to talk about that. Well, they might, you know, it's really, that's a really important time to be honest about what somebody's wishes are. So I think that those words, heart, humor, and honesty, they bring a smile to my face. I think that it's the crux of who we want to be as people when we're there for one another.
Oh, I love that. And you put a smile on my face. Thank you so much for sharing you. You do such great work. We really just need more Beths and Wendys out there. So as we move forward, is there anything that we missed today that you wanted to bring up?
Wendy, you touched on it earlier when you said, you know, you don't have to go through this alone. And I think that there are times in our lives when we do feel alone. And when that happens, I think it's really important to reach out, you know, to either your current community or to resources that are available. There are lots of national and regional organizations who can be really great sounding boards and provide resources for folks. I just think that it's really important to, even if you're feeling alone, know that you're not alone. Connections really matter. You know, we just can't choose what healthcare condition we're dealing with, but we can choose the community that we surround ourselves with.
Excellent. Thank you. And Beth?
I think you covered it all. You know, I think honesty is the best medicine, and sometimes it's hard to hear, but I think deep down people really want to know the facts and what they should be looking for. I think it is very important.
Absolutely. And you're right, especially end of life situations. I've seen that firsthand as well, where I threw no fault of their own just because it's a difficult conversation to have, but it really does need to be had. I guess that's a topic for another time. So as we begin to wrap up, any contact information that you want to share?
Thanks, Pat. This is Wendy. So our book, The Confident Patient, can be purchased on Amazon. It's also available on Audible. And those of you listening to this may recognize the voice of the person that is reading The Confident Patient, your very favorite own Pat Rulo. And you can also contact us through our website, www.2by2health.com. That's the number 2X, the number 2Health.com.
All right, it's 2X2, number 2X2, 2by2health.com. All right, as we head out, any final words from either of you?
Well, thanks, Pat. You do a great job.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you. As we head out, thank you both for being here today, and I look forward to more conversations with you, and just keep on doing the great work that you're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat. We appreciate it.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.